And we now listen to God's word. So let us open our Bibles. And we will be reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future. This is this year's theme verse. The theme verse for 2021, Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14. So I want to read this together with you. For those who are online, it will appear on the screen in Japanese. So let's read it together. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider this. God has made one as well as the other. So recently I re-encountered this as I was reading to listening to the Bible almost every day. And it grabbed my heart. I'm sure I've seen and read these words many times before, but I don't think I've ever felt them so close to me. These words of Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14. I think the first time I came across this verse was about 20 years ago. And I didn't understand the meaning of verse 13. Who can straighten what God has bent? I didn't understand these words. I wondered what he was trying to say. I just couldn't understand. I thought, in the first place, God is the one who straightens what is crooked, not the one who bends what is straight. So the words God bends things didn't really enter my understanding. It didn't sit well with me. However, throughout this last year, I have been impressed by the scale of this verse. Until now, I have always been expecting God to take the bent things, the crooked things, and make them straight. I expecting God to do in my life, heal what is sick, to remove what is wrong, to fill what is lacking. If there's a mountain in front of me, you move it. If there's a river in your way, you block it, you dam it up, and cross in the dry. So I thought that what God would do is to make the bent things straight. In other words, what I think is a disease is also a disease to God. What I think is a problem is also a problem to God. What I think is a lack is also a lack to God. And what I think is an obstacle in my way is also an obstacle to God. That's what I thought. I thought that was just so natural. That's what I thought. In other words, what I consider crooked from my point of view, God would naturally consider crooked as well. I thought that God was the one who would surely correct the crookedness. But in that thinking, there's no room for God's sovereignty. This sense of justice and value, of correctness. As I lived through this year, last year of 2020, I learned that I had misunderstood God as a tool to do my bidding, thinking that what is right in my eyes is also right in God's eyes, and that He would do what I think right in all cases. And when I encountered these verses, I was taught that that isn't true. At the end of the year, we always think about what kind of year it was. And every person usually thinks something different. We're different environments, we have different conditions, we all have different genders, ages, health conditions, places that we live. And so as we look at, back on a previous year, our thoughts and words are usually different. But last year is special. People not only in Japan, but all over the world can't help but say the same words in unison. Without a doubt, it's Corona. At the time of the New Year service day last year, the news of the coronavirus had already come in, but most people, except for a few, never thought that it would reach such a level that it would take over not only Japan, but the whole world. Yet now, today, we are still in the midst of the effects of the disaster, even as the year goes on, even as we pass from the old year to the new year. And everyone in the world considers this novel coronavirus infection as an emergency and a different situation from their normal life. We all think this is unusual and abnormal. In other words, what used to be straight has been bent and become crooked. So we want to end this situation even one day more quickly. We want to straighten out the crookedness. There is no way to end the situation. We don't see an end to it. We have making various efforts for a whole year in the hope that we can straighten out the crooked situation again, but somehow it has not been straightened out. On the other hand, people start to ask themselves, is the situation that we human thinks has become crooked really crooked? No, on the contrary, isn't it because of our human activities that we have continued to bend what was originally straight? I think we should consider that as well as our economy and reports of recovery of the natural world, such as a drop in the average temperature due to lack of economic activity, a clearing of the air due to suppression of various exhaust gases, recovery of breeding of certain endangered species, and we ask to improve the state of the human life. And as part of a global effort to reduce carbon dioxide emission, we've agreed to stop manufacturing gasoline-powered cars by the end of the next 20 to 30 years. We came to realize how precious it is to be able to talk and spend time together normally without special effort. We miss our friends, our children, our grandchildren, our colleagues, and our friends. We feel that people are only people. our colleagues, our friends, our families, they become so dear to us. I admit that there are people who are suffering from economic deprivation and the economic disease due to this corona disaster, but I can't help but feel that this seemingly crooked situation is not just crooked for no reason. I think it's crooked on purpose. I wonder if it's not a meaningless kind of crookedness, but somehow it has been bent. And that is when the words of Ecclesiastes 7:13 came to me with great power. Consider what the Lord has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? It's true that there are crooked things in the world, but we must not give up on seeing that God's compassion and thoughtfulness are there. So God is saying, recognize me. He is angry in spite of his eternal glory, which is beyond comparison. We know that he sympathizes, heals, and comforts us. He gives strength when we're in pain. The way that we are able to have a peaceful Sunday is through God. He is peace. He's always with us. He's always compassionate. He possesses everything. He creates everything. He helps anything. He satisfies us all needs. He nurtures all of us. And his wisdom is beyond measure. We are told to see the world through our faith in the gracious and loving God. We must cling to our faith in him. We say, clinging to our faith. This is like a child who is so young that he can't hold hands palm to palm, but in any crisis, whether lightning, darkness, earthquake, in a high place, when he's in water, he clutches the fingers of his parents' hand so tightly that it hurts, or he clings to his parents' legs with his whole body and will not let go. Imagine that child clinging to your legs. The only way to survive the tension, anxiety, and fear that we face right now is to squeeze your parents' fingers as hard as you can. Cling tightly to mother or father's legs as if you have an overwhelming sense of trust that you can handle it with your father or mother, that they can handle it, that they will protect you no matter what. This sense of trust. So why do young children rely on and trust their parents? It's because they have experienced it. They have the experience at the time that they were in trouble of their parents helping them, protecting them, providing for them when they were in trouble. This experience is unconsciously accumulated in the child and appears as trust in their parents. In other words, the body remembers the past experience of grace given by parents. In this way, even in situations of tension, anxiety, and fear, impending danger, this experience comes into play. God, the creator of human life, so created babies. He created them to rely on and trust their parents from birth. The baby's instinct when born is to trust its parents. It's further strengthened through the experience of blessings given by his or her parents. This strengthened trust is expressed in the form of clenched fists, fingers, and clinging legs. But eventually, when the child's hands are too big to practically cling to fingers and they've grown to the size of the parent's hands, when the child is as tall or taller than the parent, instead of clinging to the parent's legs, the blessing of the parent are taken for granted and become depressing or annoying. They rebel and they feel that they can live on their own. They're unable to see or notice the blessings their parents have given them and are continuing to give them, and they don't understand the love of the parents, the love the parents that have for them and have given them. And when we see and notice and appreciate again what our parents have done for us and the blessings they have bestowed upon us, that's when what used to be straight becomes crooked. When we go from eating as we should, sleeping as we should, naturally enjoying things and rejoicing, naturally playing and moving, naturally working as we should, to not being able to eat, being unable to sleep, unable to enjoy anything, unable to rejoice, unable to play, unable to move. When we're unable to work, then we recall the grace and blessings our parents gave to us, and it sinks in how wonderful it was. We see how their hardship, pain, patience, and endurance parents had to have to deal with their children, to give that grace, to bless their children. And that point, for the first time, the grace of our parents will penetrate our hearts anew. I think that if we look at the Bible, this is what Solomon, the author of Ecclesiastes, is trying to say. What does the Bible say about the one God in heaven, the God who made heaven and earth and all things? He is Father, God the Father. He is God the Father, and we humans are his children. We are the children of God. God the Father has been giving grace to humans, to the children, all the time. From long before we were born, he has been giving grace to us for all that time. No matter the pain, no matter the endurance, no matter the patience required, because he loves us, he has been giving grace as a father. Not just to Christians, you know. Not only to Christians, but to all human beings. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 5. From verse 45. so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God does not make a difference between the good and the bad. He is the Father of all humanity without distinction, and he is anxious that he should know he is the Father. He wants to be known as the Father. He is so anxious that even if his children does not understand that he is Father, he will not stop being him and will continue to give grace. The most painful and hurtful part of being a parent, when do you think that is? It's when a child does not acknowledge that you are a parent. When a child does not acknowledge that you're a parent, that's when you are most hurt. God continues to experience that pain, but he embraces it and still wants to be Father. And to fulfill his responsibility as a father, he continues to bless us in all ways. He gives us all kinds of blessings. That's the kind of Father God that he is. And even though we receive the Father's blessings, we can't even breathe without them. We forget these blessings that have been bestowed on us. And we go through the history of man while depressing and rebelling against the existence of God, saying there is no God, that God is nothing, and eating up all of these blessings that have been bestowed on us. It's engraved on the history of human beings. We have destroyed all that he has given us in one way or another. But even so, God the Father never gives up on being God the Father. Throughout the Old Testament, when people were no different than today, he still loved us enough to come to the cross in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for our sin of ingratitude, to show the ungrateful, foolish sons and daughters who do not recognize God as their Father, how much the Father loves them. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. He's reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. So Solomon says, keep your eyes on God's work. When things seem to be crooked, it is time for all mankind to notice the grace of God the Father. But the real problem is that the world doesn't notice the grace of God the Father. And so, those Christians, the ones who have fortunately believed in the Lord Jesus Christ first and came to recognize God the Father as God the Father, we are the first to take notice of God's work. Instead of looking at the turmoil of the world through the colored glasses of the world, as it shakes the world, we should look at this time by clinging to our God the Father, and in the relationship between us, the parent-child relationship between God and man. We should remember that we cannot count the blessings that God has left for us. the miracles and works of Jesus through 3 years. These countless blessings, we can't count them. In the 66 books of the Old and New Testaments, read over and over again, remember, 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 remember. Remember, remember, remember. We are commanded to remember. Yet we human beings falsely remember what we have given, no matter how small, but we forget almost everything that is given to us by others. And God tells us, these failed humans, over and over again in the Bible, he says, remember, remember, remember the grace that I have given you. Weren't you a slave? Weren't you penniless, barely clothed? Weren't you a parasite and a burden on others' shoulders? Weren't you the weakest in society? Didn't you have trouble finding food to eat? Didn't you once spend time in prison? But through all this, didn't I give you the grace you deserved in all those times? It may have been a bitter and painful experience, but I transformed it into a source of maturity, didn't I? Do you remember all those blessings in detail? So why is he telling us so much? Why does he speak to us like this? Because in a sense, faith depends on how much we can specifically count the blessings in our daily lives. Faith depends on counting our blessings, our daily blessings. One of my seminary professors once told us in class that there was one thing that he did to remember the blessings God had given him. This is more than 20 years ago that he was talking about. He had taken his wife and two children, and he had studied at the Dallas Theological Seminary in Texas in the United States. The total amount of money he took with him for his study abroad experience, which would take 5 years, was $3,000. For 5 years of his exchange student experience. It was a huge amount of money. But he managed to collect it. He tucked it into his breast pocket and landed at the airport. And after going through immigration, he walked out of the airport and put his hand in his breast pocket to make sure the money was there. And there was no money there. He thought, I must be mistaken. And again, he put his hand in his pocket, but there's no money. He looked in every pocket and there was no money. He thought, maybe I gave it to my wife. He asked his wife, but she said, I don't have it. He doesn't know if he encountered a pickpocket or if he dropped it. But the first step of his life as an international student started with a terrible accident. I lost all my money. So he made up his mind. He decided, I will keep this plane ticket stub in my breast pocket for the rest of my life, because this is the day that God the Father declared that he would protect and guide our study abroad with responsibility. He would take the responsibility for me because I no longer can do it myself. He was convicted. Do you know what I mean? Instead of being pessimistic, he took it as a message to lean on God. When he was talking about this, he pulled out that ticket stub from the breast pocket of his jacket and said, "God the Father has provided everything that our family of four needed for 5 years of study. This is our family's lifelong treasure and proof that we always carry it with us, that we will never forget the blessings God has bestowed on us. I'm amazed." I could not be helped but be impressed by his way of life, trying to live in such a way that he would never forget the blessings that God the Father had bestowed on him. I was so impressed. It's a way of life where you don't look at things that are crooked as crooked, but believe that God made them crooked and keep your eyes on God's work. We Japanese have to learn that the most important thing is not to make the crooked things straight, but to understand that God has made the straight things crooked in order to show us his work. This is not a new thing. This is a fact that has been true from ancient times. It's a relationship of father and son, and it's not new. It's like a child who forgets the grace of his parents, remembering and letting that grace seep into his heart. There's no life that is not in God's hands. Every life is nurtured by God's hand in deep love. To remember this is to keep our eyes on God's work. To remember that we are in a relationship of father and son with God, we need to keep our eyes on God's work. Unfortunately, we live in a world that doesn't pay attention to God's grace. If we think that things are crooked, we conclude there's no God. We think we can straighten out what we think is crooked, and we scramble to make it straight again, to make it straight. We use all our strength. Even if you get to the point where you think you've straightened it out, the world is full of crooked things that seem to need to be straightened out one after the other. There's no end to it, not at all. What's even more troubling is that there are things all over the world that we thought we had straightened out by our own power. But in fact, we have twisted them ourselves. It's like the void world described in Genesis 1. It's a world that's vague, obscure, dim, and dumb. What have we done with our science? There was a paper in Nature that says, the carbon dioxide that's in nature as of now is only 3% of the natural amount is man-made. But in 100 years, human-made carbon dioxide will be greater than all natural. This obscure, dim, vague world in this world, the only salvation for us is to fix our eyes on God's work, to remember it, like the prodigal son remembering the grace of his father. Amid all of the crooked things, we need to fix our eyes on God's work. That is salvation. The end of the week approaches. And yet we still see the crooked things. And we have to look past them and see the grace of God. We don't know what will happen to us in this year. We don't know it all. But in 2021, one thing is sure. No matter what happens, there is a sure way to live. It is to keep our eyes on God's work. No matter how small a matter it may seem, we need to keep our eye on the blessings that God has done for us. Some years ago, I went to the Tomohiro Museum, and he, because he's paralyzed from the neck down, has experienced a life where he himself is crooked and bent. And yet, he makes such beautiful, such strong pictures. He is able to see God's work in a weed that people have stepped on. No matter how small a thing may seem, we need to keep our eyes on the blessings that God has done for us. And this is also to fix our eyes on the way, the truth, and the life. This is Jesus Christ. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus bore the pain of the cross because he knew the blessings of God. We have our times when we are tired and discouraged, but if we think of Jesus, who was so opposed by the people of his time, if he can do it, How small are our troubles? Last year, there were so many things that I had to persevere through. Most Mondays are rest days, and I will often go to the beach. Sometimes I've felt I don't want to see the Bible on Monday. Don't want to hear a message on Monday. There was a time where I felt like that. So I put on the radio and go to the ocean, and I listen to the radio on the way back. And I don't want to listen or hear about the Bible. And I thought that was how I would lift my fatigue. And sometimes I'd feel guilty about that and not go to the beach, but and I wondered, why do I feel so dry when I was going? And if I listen to teachers from around the world, their messages, I could spend an hour that way, 3 hours coming and going. And then I didn't feel tired. So I thought that this is what God wants me to look at. This is how I can fix my eye on Jesus and not look away. This is the only way to keep your mind healthy when you feel down. The only way not to feel exhausted when you're tired is to keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, the founder and perfecter of your faith. In the year 2021, which no one has ever lived, which is unknown to everyone, let's keep our eyes on this only certain one, and let's all live together. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our God, the things that God does, when we try to fix our eyes on them, we give you thanks, even though many things around us are crooked. We live, and all responsibility is on you. Yet, we don't know gratitude. And yet, you, as Father, as parent, continue to give us the grace that we cannot live without. We give you thanks. You have to experience pain and persevere through and endure our ignorance and waywardness. And yet you do it. As you continue to bless us with your grace, please help each of us to every day remember in concrete terms these blessings. As we come before you, we ask you to guide us. And in this year, 2021, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know even if we will live or die through it. But for each instant that you give us, we should remember and count the blessings that you give us, so that we may praise you. Please guide us to live in your will. For this year, you have given us your words. and in God's word, let us find our way. We give you thanks in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.